This is Jeopardy! No, this is the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hester. And tonight, I've got a bunch of people here to talk about books, which is what they love to do. I'm going to go down the list and say hello to everybody. We're going to start with Rachel.
Hello.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Tell people who you are and what you do.
I am a contributor to SF Signal and BookRiot.com, and I have my own book blog at bookishlywitty.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter being snarky at RCORDAS.
Very cool. And next up, I couldn't get George, I couldn't get Ringo, I couldn't get John, so I decided to ask Paul.
Hi, Paul Weimer. I'm a SF Signal contributor. I am one of the co-hosts of the Skiffy and Fancy Show, which is a rival podcast to this one. And I'm you guys won the Hugo last time. We were also nominated. So yes, I'm a Hugo nominee last year. Hopefully, maybe sometime in the future. And I also am incessantly on Twitter. Don't tell my boss.
Next up, we have Sarah.
Hi, I am Sarah. I write reviews out of bookwormblues.net, and I'm everywhere on the internet as Bookworm Blues. And I run the column Special Needs and Strange Worlds on SF Signal, and I do some random stuff for Ragnarok Publications.
You're a slush reader, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a slush reader, and I do some PR.
And the slush reading, how is that affecting your appreciation of storytelling?
You know, the whole process of publishing is incredibly fascinating to me, and it's really interesting to see where a book kind of starts and how it ends up when it gets published. As for me, I never really realized how much effort went into writing these novels. I mean, you know, but you don't really know until you're involved in it somehow. So, and then knowing that some of them won't make the cut when you read them, and you know this person put his heart into this document, and it's just not good enough. And that's hard. It's really hard. You guys have to have some thick skin.
Yep. So I've talked to other people who have admitted to being slush readers before, and one of the things that they talk about is that they will actually take their pile and organize it based on word count.
Oh,
and start with the shortest first. And they start with the shortest first because that means they can get through more in a day.
Huh. That makes sense. Yeah, right now they're just sending me one at a time, and that works. So I read one, and then I tell them what I think, and then they send me another one.
You're Elaine.
I'm...
You're Elaine from Seinfeld. That's what she used to do.
Well, maybe someday I'll multitask, but until then...
Very cool. Well, and last but certainly not least, we have the Fresh Prince of New York. His name is Fred.
Hi, it's Fred Kish. I am between 25% and 33% of the Three Horsemen. And Patrick invited me on this podcast because I have listened to well over 2,472 hours of audio stuff this year alone.
Yeah, let's tell the people that I planned that far ahead.
I figured that's why you asked them.
I ask everybody. I'm just thrilled that Fred was able to join us.
I know I'm the cream of the crop. Definitely the best of the horsemen.
So you've kind of given away. We're talking tonight about audiobooks. And I got the idea to have this as one of our episodes because at Mile High Con, I was with Josh Vogt and Vivian Trask and some other people, and we were on the Welcome to Night Vale and other podcasts you should be listening to, which basically talks about audio fiction. And I believe, Fred, aren't you catching up on Night Vale?
I've been a fan since very, very early on. My wife now listens to it, and my daughter listens to it incessantly in a loop.
And why don't you tell people what it is?
Night Vale is sort of like a cross between Prairie Home Companion and The X-Files. It's a little town, community radio station in a little town, and very, very strange things happen, such as a demonic glow cloud taking over the parent-teacher association, or a couple giving birth to a detached human hand, adult male human hand, or a dog park that isn't there, or mad zombie librarians that kidnap children until the children break out. Very, very funny. They tour the world, doing a radio show, you know, live before an audience that they will then release as a special episode. Most episodes are about, I'd say, half an hour long and come out twice a month. And it's worth listening from the beginning.
And essentially, you know, we had that podcast or that that panel at Mile High Con, and we talked about the different types of audio fiction that are out there, not just Audible kind of stuff, but you know, the radio plays and the dramas, and it's almost like a resurgence of that art form right now, because now people can do it and they can release it, you know, through iTunes and different ways and get it out there. So it's really cool. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I also wanted to talk about, you know, the straight narrating audio fiction kind of thing. So I know there's lots of free stuff out there. You know, you've got the, you know, the Podcastle kind of stuff, Escape Pod, so on and so forth. There's the Audible stuff, and I'm assuming there's going to be some other kind of avenues that we can find this kind of fiction. Let's start with favorites. Is there like a favorite platform or a place where you go to get audio fiction, Sarah?
Sorry, I was muted.
That's okay.
All right. So here's my thing.
Whoa. Already?
Yes. Yes, already. Because you had the misfortune to ask me a question first. So there you go.
Uh-huh.
In the email you sent about this, you said likes and dislikes.
Right.
And I am one of the people who dislike these things. I've listened to one audiobook, and I told you that in the email.
I know.
I listened to one, so I hope I qualify. So here I am. I don't know. Really get into this stuff.
Okay, so let's do this. Before we start getting into the what do you like, I thought that maybe you might have listened to another one since then and maybe liked it, but that's okay. What did you listen to? What did you listen to?
Well, I've listened to one and a half. So the one that I listened to was Master of White Storm by Jenny Wirtz. And I liked it. And then I tried to listen to a Christopher Moore one when I was driving. And I swear to God, I almost fell asleep. So that kind of ended that one for me.
What was it? Was it the story itself or was it the narrator?
No, what I just can't quite get over with audio stuff is it never sounds the way it sounds in my head, and that really annoys me. And then I only kind of halfway listen to stuff, whereas when I read, I have to fully engage in what I'm reading. So I kind of only halfway figure out what's going on. And it just doesn't work for me. I listened to Master of White Storm when I was very, very sick and home alone. So I had no other option, and it worked then. But I think other than being very, very sick and home alone, it's just my mind just goes too far off. So
thinking and
crap. I don't know. Thinking and crap. Exactly. See, that's gold right there.
Okay. But if it were more engaging, if it wasn't just someone reading, if it was a play, if there was actually characters being portrayed by actors, would that change that for you?
Yeah, I've listened to some stuff that BBC's done, I think it was BBC, and I've enjoyed it because it was plays and different people talking, and that worked really well for me. My main thing is my job would be perfect for audiobooks, absolutely perfect. I could listen to them all day and nobody would care. So I really want to love audiobooks, and that's kind of why I wanted to be on here, so all of you guys could sell me on audiobooks and get me excited. So that is your job.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, man, no pressure.
No pressure at all.
Yeah, no pressure.
So, Paul, my original question to you.
Okay, so, yeah, I'll take up that challenge. One of my crack cocaines of buying books, as Fred knows, is buying ebooks on the Big River website. One of the things they often do is you buy the ebook and you can get the audiobook for a discounted price. I've done this more than on a few occasions because, hey, okay, I've already bought the ebook. $3.99 for an audiobook? I can do that. Ka-ching. So I buy a lot of my audiobooks that way through, okay, I already have the ebook. I haven't read the ebook yet because my Kindle is approaching the Keishian singularity. So this way I'll actually get to listen to the book and get it off of my to be read list.
Okay.
Currently my favorite narrator is probably Michael Page.
Why?
Because he does epic fantasy really well. He does Scott Lynch, and he does Joe Abercrombie, and he does Sarah Steven Erickson. And he does them very, very well. He has an excellent voice, an excellent sense of timing. His characters are always clear and distinct. And if I'm doing that 4-hour drive to go up to Teddy Gooch State Park, Michael Page will help me eat up those miles listening to him read from one of those fine authors.
All right. Rachel, same question to you.
I get most of my stuff from Audible or download an audio file from the local library because they have a really good system here and they have tons of audiobooks. And since I started listening to audiobooks probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I listened to hundreds, and I listen to them like when I'm cleaning, when I'm doing the dishes, you know, all those times when thinking of my own thoughts drives me crazy.
When you don't have time for thinking and crap.
Yeah, no, I just don't even want to listen to my thoughts. So that's usually where I get mine from. And mine are mostly, I'd say like 99% are history and biography. Because I agree, it's very hard follow a narrative. I don't know, for some reason fiction, I've tried it, and fiction just doesn't work as well on audiobook. For some reason the history and biography, the nonfiction, seems to work better for me. I think because I see it like a lecture. Like I've kind of tried to learn as much as possible while I've been unable to do anything else, if I'm cleaning or whatever. And it's kind of like you're listening to a lecture, and that kind of stuff, the nonfiction, like I only pick stuff that I'm really interested in. I've learned so much, and I'm eternally grateful to my husband for convincing me to try audiobooks. 'Cause I always said, oh, audiobooks are for really old ladies, who are sitting around knitting. Like, or he was like, no, it is not just for little old ladies. And I don't have a particular narrator who I've singled out or anything, but I will say I do appreciate, I don't know what it would be like otherwise, but I do appreciate when I'm listening to an audiobook and it's written by a man and there's a male narrator, or it's written by a woman, it's a female narrator. It doesn't mean that it would be weird otherwise, but I feel like maybe that kind of gives it a little bit of, not continuity, but you know, it's like you imagine that it's the writer who's actually reading it, even though most of the time it isn't. But consistency, that's what I was trying to say.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, like a book written by a woman, for instance, about Queen Mary and Queen Elizabeth, you know, is narrated by a woman with a British accent, you know, so that seemed pretty consistent to me. I appreciated that. But there have been some narrators where I've been like, oh, my God, I cannot stand your voice. Like, very rarely, but they're voices that just drive me up a wall. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
What about you, Fred?
Well, for platform, for long form, it's mostly Audible. It used to be CDs. And short form, I get them from a lot of sources, either podcasts or kind of more like shows like Night Vale. Some podcasts have fiction buried in them in between, like, interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. So all over the place as far as...
Do you so, you know, Clark's World and Lightspeed, yep. They also yep. have the podcast part of it. Do you exactly. get those?
Those, Beneath Ceaseless Skies, Podcastle, Pseudopod, Escape Pod. Bain has their podcast is about half fiction, half interview. Thousands of hours at this point. Thousands, literally.
So you're doing the Audible. Do you do the one credit a month or how many credits a month, or do you just buy them outright?
Like Paul, I sometimes get them at a reduced price when I buy a ebook.
Sure.
I burned through all 24 credits this year.
Wow.
And then I've been buying them three at a time because they keep offering me specials for like $20 for the for three credits. And that's still cheaper than buying the three books I want at that point for the full price.
And one of the things that Anilio likes about the Kindle and Audible deal is if you get the ebook and you get the audiobook, they will sync.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you're reading on your Kindle and then you're in the car and you're listening on the Audible and then you go back to your Kindle, it'll sync to that point that it left off, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I was doing that. I haven't tried that with my new device, but I was doing that with my Kindle when the Kindle was working.
And what's your new device?
It's one of the Samsung Galaxy tablets.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with those.
It looks like an iPad, except it works a lot better. And getting back to what other people were saying, my favorite narrator is a guy named Simon Vance.
Why?
Oh, yeah, he's a good choice, yeah.
Well, the reason is, and this is going to contradict some of what was already been said, is that he's one of the people that narrates the Patrick O'Brien, Aubrey Maturin naval series set during the Napoleonic Wars, which is one of my favorite non-genre fiction series. And I have listened to that series, all 21 books of it, over the space of a summer several times.
Really?
So I am definitely a fan of long-form fiction on Audible or audio. I've also, this year, for example, I listened to most of David Drake's Lieutenant Leary series. I'm up to like book 8 or 9. And I did about 10 of David Weber's Oniverse books on audio this year. So I think this year I listened to 42 audiobooks so far, all but maybe two of them were fiction.
Now, some of those are authors that you already like and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Are those books that you've already read and now you're listening to them?
It varies. Some cases, yes. For example, the David Drake, I've got all of them in paper, but I'm at the point where I'm reading or listening to the ones I haven't read before. The David Weber was a mixed batch. That was, some of it was stuff I've read before, some of it was new. And the next couple that I've got on audio will be ones I have not yet read in paper.
Hmm. And is it different for you, the ones that you've actually read? Is it a different experience? Is it
pick yes.
you out a little bit? Do you go, wait, that this is not what I wanted?
No, I mean, this is one reason why I like Simon Vance so much on the Patrick O'Brien. He pronounces things so carefully and puts such a spin on it that it gave me a different way of looking at the series, at the stories in the series. Some narrators are more sloppy. It's clear they haven't practiced as much, but he is, like, for me, the gold standard as far as someone who's obviously looked at what he's going to read, practiced it, thought about the pacing. He's not that good on the women's voices, but no man really is. But since it's mostly a series with men, it doesn't matter as much.
Hmm.
And he's definitely, when I read the books, those are the voices I hear in my head now. I cannot hear anything else.
I hear DiNardo a lot of times going, hi-oh.
Yeah. Well, I heard somebody say that on a podcast today. I nearly spit my coffee out my mouth.
Well, I think I mentioned before that it's only been recently that I've dipped my toe into audiobooks. And it's because I was dating someone in Colorado Springs, and to get to her house was an hour and a half drive. And I started listening to, at the time, the latest Dresden book, Skin Game, which is James Marsters.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, he does a fantastic job. The first time, it was in the very beginning of the book, Dresden is, quote-unquote, working out by attempting parkour. And he's actually, because he's a dork, every time he does any sort of jump or anything, he shouts parkour because he thinks that's what you're supposed to do. And the first time Marsters did that and he shouts parkour, I just lost it and started laughing my ass off. It was wonderful. So that was my first experience. Now, Jean Stein gave me an Audible credit for her first book in the Anna Strong series. And so this is my first female narrator, because it's the second thing I've listened to. And it's Dina Perlman. And she's doing a great job. So I'm enjoying it so far. It's a different experience for me. I'm not driving as much as I used to, obviously, because we broke up. But I can still catch, about 20 minutes in the car on the way to work and 20 minutes on the way home. And that seems to be working for me. And it's helping me actually read a little bit more, quote unquote, read. Do we call this reading? Is it still reading? Does this still qualify? Do we still get points?
Yes, I count it amongst the books I've read, yes.
Yes.
Okay. So obviously Sarah did not have a great experience, and it's kind of turned her off. So Paul, why don't you tell her why she should give it another shot?
Well, for one thing, authors that you know and love have their books in audio form, and this is a way for you to read even more and get even further ahead of me in your reading than you already are, Sarah. Don't you want to maintain your lead over me?
It's not a race, brother.
It is, of course it's a race. I've quote unquote read only 17 audiobooks this year, which means that Fred's nearly tripled me at this point. But dang it, but I need to listen to audiobooks in relatively large chunks. I can listen to a podcast in a half-hour chunk. For an audiobook, I want at least an hour at a time, and I don't always get that unless I'm driving somewhere distant. So I'm kind of restricted that way. But maybe that would work better for you, Sarah, because you were talking about trying to get into the world and thinking about it and I think maybe if you had a nice chunk of time to listen to an audiobook, you would enjoy it more, especially if it was a narrator and an author that pairs well together.
So my issue, and maybe you guys can answer this for me.
Sure.
When I was listening to Master of White Storm, I really, really loved it. The part that jarred me out of the book really fast is it's fantasy. You know, every fantasy has some made up words.
Right.
And it took me so long to figure out what the words were in this dude's accent. And then I had to like look up a sample of the book online and say, okay, he's saying that, which fell into this paragraph. And it was very difficult for me to follow because of the whole language issue. So what is your answer to that?
My answer to that is to find narrators who have clearly worked with the author and can enunciate those words properly. Or, for example, I can think of two authors of mine who actually read their own books, and so they know exactly what they're talking about when they're speaking.
Paul, I was just going to say the first part's difficult. I mean, there's not really any way to know that.
Right. I know. It's unfortunately like try a narrator. Does he do a good job? No. Try another. Does she do a good job? Yes. It is kind of hit and miss, unfortunately. And I've had bad narrator experiences there where I can't understand one word in three of what the narrator is saying. Is like, God, I hate this. I can't understand what they're talking about. So it does happen, unfortunately. It's like, okay, that was a waste. That audiobook was worthless. So I wind up following narrators as much as I follow authors. I don't know if Fred does that. Fred and Rachel do that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I if I see Simon Vance on a book that I'm halfway interested in, I'm more likely to push the buy button, and I'm more likely to stick with the series if they keep the same narrator. For example, William Gibson's, I don't know if you want to call it the Blue Ant trilogy or the Big N trilogy. You know, the one with Pattern Recognition, Zero History, and Spook Country, they went from a female narrator to a male narrator to, I think, back to a female narrator. And that was very jarring because the main characters in each, I mean, there are pretty major male characters in the second and third, but it's essentially a female lead for all three.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like, you know, it didn't work as well.
And to throw it out there for you, Sarah, one of the things you could do, especially on Audible, is if you like the narrator, you can click on the narrator's name and see other books that they've narrated.
That would interest me. I've had a bunch of people tell me that the actress who played Captain, I want to say Janeway or something, on Star Trek Deep Space Nine narrates books, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Well, there's that, and then Patterson turned me on to the fact that, so Peter David years ago wrote several Star Trek novels, and some of them involved Q.
Oh.
And so there was Q in Law, Q'd Squared, which actually tied the original series Trelane to the Q continuum. And then there was a couple others. Anyway, they actually got John DeLancey to narrate those books along with Majel Barrett.
Her character
was those books as well as Lwaxana Troi. And I have listened to little snippets of those, and Patterson was telling me, he said, it's absolutely hilarious. And it is. They get so into it, and they have so much fun with it, and they're playing back and forth. So, you know, DeLancey's doing his part, Majel Barrett's doing her part, and they're kind of playing off each other. And those kinds of things are hilarious and wonderful. But I feel like in an Audible environment, those are few and far between. If you go out into podcast land, I think you're going to see more of that kind of stuff. If you go to what's the name of the company that does all the Doctor Who ones?
Big Finish. But oddly enough, that's a form that I really haven't gotten very fond of, the full cast kind of things.
I got into it was before Russell T. Davies brought Doctor Who back. They were doing things with Paul McGann. And I remember they had, I believe it was before Russell T. Davies, they had done a Flash animated version of, what's the Lost Doctor Who episode?
Shada? Well, there's a lot.
Are you talking about Scream of the Shalka?
No, Shada. It was Shada.
Okay.
And they had done that with Paul McGann, and they got the actress who played Romana to come on. And so they did it that way. And that was pretty cool. That was different because it was audio, but they also gave us a little bit of video with the Flash animation.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I've really liked so far was a Neil Gaiman. I believe there's a version of American Gods that has a full cast, or maybe it's Neverwhere has the full cast.
It's Neverwhere with James McAvoy, Christopher Lee, Natalie Dormer.
Well, that's the radio version. There's one of the books has got a full cast.
That would interest me.
I think there was a Timothy Zahn Star Wars one that had a full cast, and it drove me absolutely nuts because it had sound effects, and I'm like, okay, if I want, you know, where's my imagination getting engaged here?
Go ahead, Rachel.
In terms of like the sound effects and things like that, there was really just one book that that had, you know, a musical component to, like, it was a biography, I think, of Haydn, I think. And then they'd start, like, they'd talk about a piece, and then you'd hear a selection from it. And I mean, that is something you can't get in a, you know, in the print medium, clearly. And that was great, because then you could just kind of hear, you know, what they were talking about. And then I think the only other one was a biography of Edward R. Murrow. And they were talking about, you know, different broadcasts, and they even were talking about just, you know, kind of important broadcasts, and they played the actual broadcasts. They had, you know, embedded them into the audiobook, and, you know, those kind of things I think are really awesome. But I haven't listened to anything that had, like, you know, like you're saying, sound effects, because I would think that would be a little bit distracting.
Well, it depends, because it's a throwback to early radio.
Right, and I'm not used there are writers I love who have done radio plays, but I haven't listened to radio plays. So maybe if I had been more, you know, if I'd listened to more radio, that would probably not be as distracting. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's so interesting what audio can do, because, you know, I definitely prefer print. Print is my, you know, the medium I mostly use. But you know, but you can hear, you know, music and broadcasts and different things, and that really added to the experience.
Interesting.
So,
well, my grandmother obviously grew up in the radio era.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that she loved, would to find it at the time. She would try to find old radio programs either on record or on cassette tape and listen to them. And it just took her back to her childhood. But they did all that stuff. They did all the sound effects and everything. Now, usually something you get from an Audible doesn't really have that. I mean, I haven't encountered that yet, but of course I'm just barely getting into it. Fred, have you ever encountered sound effects and stuff like that in Audible?
I'm trying to remember where I got the Timothy Zahn one. I think it was either a full version of his trilogy or a special excerpt.
Oh, wow. That would be really long. The Thrawn trilogy?
Yeah, the Thrawn trilogy was the behind-the-scenes thing, which was not the full book. It was just like as part of the anniversary edition of the first volume.
Oh, okay.
So I don't believe the other versions have it, but it was just... very irritating.
So they put the time and effort into doing an audio version of that, and then they threw it out of the extended universe and said, screw you.
Well, yeah, that's a different podcast.
Yeah, appreciate that.
With a different guy.
Uh-huh, yeah, appreciate that. That was nice.
Yeah.
So are there, Fred, you're talking about deals where you get 3 for $20. I haven't seen that yet.
Well, you know, I am. It doesn't show up all the time, but
what I want to know is when will our bagel overlord start putting posts? You know, audiobooks $5.99 and below.
Does John actually listen to audiobooks?
I don't think he does. No.
That explains why he doesn't put any posts up.
Yeah.
How long is his commute? Yeah, it's like a 5-minute commute, isn't it?
No. John lives in an area of Texas where he's at least an hour and a half from everywhere.
Oh, I thought he was got a really short commute to work, because I had talked to him once about how I maximize my reading time.
Oh, I don't know, because
he was just like, I don't commute long enough. You know?
Oh, well, that's entirely possible. I just know that when Karen Burnham and John Dunnard lived in the same city, they were always like an hour from each other, no matter where they were. You know what? That's actually a question I've been meaning to ask you guys. So I think, Sarah, we've talked about it before, you know, how you manage to read so many books all the time. And now you are even making time for slush reading, which is incredible. Rachel,
God
how
bless
many,
your soul.
Are you a voracious reader as these folks are? Do you read tons and tons of books every year? Do you keep track?
Talking like in general or just audiobooks?
Just in general, everything. Do you keep track?
Well, oh yeah. I had a long hiatus. I was reading voraciously when I was in grad school, and then I had a long hiatus when I had the twins, and I was kind of like reading like a page here to page there. And I guess about a year and a half ago, I picked up the reading again, and then when I started writing for Book Riot, I kind of like kicked it into even higher gear. So I guess this year, I will probably have gotten to 80 books.
Okay.
This year, including audiobooks. I'm just, you know, I try to read any chance I get. But you know, like I said before, I do mostly fiction in print or ebook and history and biography on audiobook.
How do you do this? How do you organize this? How do you streamline this? How do you make time to read the books?
Well,
because you just mentioned you have twins.
Oh yeah, twin toddler.
You have a husband, so that's three kids you're raising right there.
Exactly right. Exactly. And we don't have any pets, but if we did, oh man, then it would be like, you know, four or five children. But I guess like the typical thing is I was trying to get up early in the morning, read, and that works sometimes.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Yeah.
Early in the morning.
Before other people are up.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I know. And so I would read whatever, you know, novel. And then when I exhausted the toddlers and they're sleeping, they're taking a nap. It's usually like an hour. So I'll read then. And then at night when I'm doing chores, I'll listen to the audiobook. So basically at this point, like right now, I am reading a book that was just recently published by José Saramago. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. From Portugal, that was translated into English. And I'm also listening to A History of Superman. So it's a very interesting combination that usually occurs. And then at night, you know, I go back to if I have time, to the print book, and I keep just a very basic spreadsheet of all the books that I'm reading, and then I note next to it, you know, audiobook or translation or whatever. And I used to have a TBR list, and it got totally messed up because I'd be like, I'm reading this next, and then I'd get a book in the mail and be like, wait, no, I'm reading this next, and so now I just read whatever comes to hand.
So I just assume that everybody else's brain works the way my brain does. When she said she was reading this History of Superman, I immediately started hearing the march, the song, you know, dun 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 dun, dun.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. And then my brain went through all the movies all the way up to Man of Steel, and then I got angry about Ben Affleck.
I'm surprised you didn't get angry when you got to Superman 4. The quest for peace.
Christopher Reeve actually has
putrescence.
So Rachel, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I'm going to tell you that I think everybody else other than me on here has probably read more books than 80.
Well, I'm saying just this year. Are you saying just this year?
Yeah. So, Paul, what's your number?
Yeah.
What's my number, including audiobooks?
Yeah.
Let me pull up my spreadsheet real quick.
She has a spreadsheet.
I have a spreadsheet. Mine is
I am currently at a... I'm I'm doing pretty well. I'm at 104 at the moment.
Okay.
Wow.
And Paul, the same question to you, because I know we've got a little bit off of audiobooks a little bit here, but yeah. I'm just curious. So you're reading ebooks, you're reading hard copies, and you're listening to audiobooks. Are you also doing comics or anything else like that?
I will sometimes read comics. Like for example, as Fred had noted, I had gotten the old What's New volume from Phil Foglio.
Pussycat? Whoa.
No, from Dragon Magazine.
I don't think the same thing.
No, from Dragon Magazine, the old What's New column from Phil Foglio. I picked up the first volume of that from the man himself and got it signed at Worldcon. So nice. I'd been not feeling great the last couple of weeks with all the crap that's been happening in genre fiction. So I reread a book by my friend Kelly McCullough, and I also read that just as kind of like comfort reading.
Mm-hmm.
I have Saga to read. I've read a few comics now
but,
again.
But the question is, how do you carve out the time?
How do I carve out the time? Yeah. I currently live alone. So
that does make it easier, because when I lived alone, I read a shit ton of books.
I read at meals. At breakfast, I'm reading a book at breakfast. I'm reading at lunch at work. I'm reading a book at lunch. I'm reading the book at lunch, and at dinner, I'm reading then, and probably reading just before I go to bed. So
I think the difference is I'm writing at those times, because those are the times when I'm stealing time to write. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, because in times I've tried to find a write, I've had to read less. So it's like a zero sum game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I completely get where you're coming from on that.
Fred, what's your number for the year so far?
I'm gonna whimper.
122 books, and with the short stories I read last night, 800 short works.
What?
He's a machine.
Wow.
and how I do it is I multitask.
Hold on. So let's set this up for the listeners and for other panelists. So Fred, are you working full time?
Yes.
And you have a teenager in the house?
Yes.
And a spouse?
Yes.
And animals?
A dog and a bird, yes.
Okay.
And a yard.
And you're also kind of active in your community? A little bit.
Yeah, the wider non-secular community, yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of pulls and hooks in you to pull you in different directions.
Sure.
Would that be fair to say?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So how do I do it?
Yeah.
Well, my 20-minute commute now takes an hour each way.
Ouch.
I'm gonna
assume, because you're in a big city, that you are not driving.
No, I am driving. I'm not in a big city.
Oh.
I'm in central New Jersey.
Yeah, I have no
suburban.
Idea. The whole East
suburban.
Coast is like one giant city.
Princeton and New Brunswick.
I assume that you can, you know, 20 minutes from New York City to Washington or D.C. or something. I don't know.
Nope.
Yeah,
I have no idea how it works.
4 hours.
Yeah, more like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So my 20-minute commute is an hour each way. I have for the past, since August or July 2013, I've been working on a project of archiving all our 30 years worth of legal documents. That means scanning and categorizing them. And so that's very boring. So I listen to stuff then. My wife starts work at 4:45 in the morning. So she goes to bed at 8.
Yeah.
So I can't watch TV. So I read. If I mow the grass, I've got the headphones on. If I'm weeding the lawn, I've got the headphones on. If I'm washing the dishes, I've got the headphones on.
Okay.
It adds up. Like I said, 2,472 hours of audio stuff in 2014 alone.
Wow.
And that's about 200 hours more than last year.
Now, but what's the average audio length of a novel?
Other than something written by Peter F. Hamilton?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just reread or listened to a book by William Hope Hodgson, who was a guy from the 1900s. That was about 5 hours long.
So, yeah. So
The Jeff Vandermeer's that you enjoyed so much, that was like, what, 15 hours?
We're not allowed to talk about that under the injunction.
And, but like I said, you know, somebody like Hamilton or like Will Durant going to history, That's, you know, 20 hours, 30 hours, 40 yeah, hours, 50 hours.
Yeah, usually yeah. The history books are very long.
Yeah, here's my advice to all the book reviewers out there. If you don't like someone's darling, don't talk about it. I'm looking at in my Audible here. I forgot that I had also bought one of Brent Weeks' books. So it's interesting. The Gene Stein book is almost 8 hours long. The Brent Weeks book is 22 hours long. The Jim Butcher book is 16 hours long.
Yeah. I mean, for a number of these audiobooks that I have listened to, these are epic fantasies, so they take a while to get through.
Sure. I was thinking about listening to the audio of the Game of Thrones from HBO. Would that be just as good as listening to it, you know, on Audible?
No.
Yeah.
Would it get the gist of the story?
I mean, what I find, Patrick, though, is that longer books, it's one way of getting through a longer book.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I used to have I had a friend who, when Shogun was first out, he would do 100 pages a day or a week or whatever he was doing. So that way, if it was really good, he wasn't going to go past 100 pages and, you know, blow through the book. But if it was slow, he would get through 100 pages and in the hope that the next 100 was just as, you know, was better. So an audiobook is kind of like that. If you're having difficulty reading it, it keeps on moving.
Yeah.
Millions upon millions of Americans saw that television miniseries, and that's the most that they knew about Japan.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Sad but true.
Yeah, sad but true. So, yeah, no, I get it. I think that is one way to get through those. And plus, I mean, if it's still one credit, that's not bad to get all those hours of an epic fantasy, right?
Well, yeah. Like last year, when I drove from Iowa up to visit Colorado on the way back, I listened to long audiobooks, and it ate up the miles going through Nebraska and Colorado and Utah and Wyoming and South Dakota. It helped me eat up those miles.
Sure. No, I gotcha. All right, Rachel, I hope you're sitting down. Sarah, what is your number for the year?
Oh dear.
Oh God.
I'm at 167. I'll be at probably 170 by the end of the weekend.
Wow.
Wow.
She's the queen.
She is.
Hail to the queen, baby.
I bow to the queen.
And now, I know that you've had some stuff go on in your life, mm-hmm. but you are back at work now.
Yes.
Is that a full-time or a part-time job?
I work from 5 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon.
I have no idea what that means. You're asking me to do math. I went to an American public school, so.
Yeah, that's a full-time.
Yeah, that's full-time.
Okay.
Full-time, 5 days a week.
Full-time, you have at home.
Yes.
Husband.
So, yes.
Animals.
I have a fish.
You have a fish.
Yes.
Okay. And obviously all kinds of other wonderful stuff because you're writing your different columns at different places and you're keeping up with your own blog. How are you just a really fast reader? I know that part of it is that you don't like to read the ends of the books. So that obviously that that cuts
That's
a lot
only
of time
on
off.
A few. No, I you know, it's a few minutes here and a few minutes there. So I'm a fast reader. You kind of have to be. And I read when I take a break at work. And then I read if my kid is playing with something. Yesterday we were learning what patterns were. And so she was doing patterns and I'd answer her questions. And then I get back to the slush book I'm reading. And then I'd go back and forth. If I'm cooking dinner, I'll read. I go to bed at 8, but I usually don't fall asleep until 9. So that's an hour right there. If you combine all that through the day, I probably on an average day get about 2 to 3 hours of reading in.
That's why you're beating me. I mean, I'm getting, let's see, an hour and a half, maybe? It depends. And I need to read in chunks. I can't do a couple pages. I need to do it in discrete chunks, kind of like audiobooks.
See, and otherwise,
I wind up with an audiobook.
If I had to do it If I had to do it in chunks, I would never get any of it done. Because I work from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then I am the sole caregiver of my child from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then my husband comes home, and from 7 to 8, I'm writing a review and getting all that done. And at 8 o'clock, I crash. So my day is packed. And if I had to do a chunk, I would never read a book. It just wouldn't happen. So it has to be multitasking and 10 minutes here and 15 minutes there. And thank God I got those minutes. So,
Sarah, mute your microphone for a second. Interesting. So Sarah, you got the Cylon going. So count to 60 slowly, and then unmute your microphone again. So
in the meantime, instead of today,
no, in the meantime. So I have a problem.
Which one?
I can't wear earbuds.
Oh, take off the hat.
No, it's for whatever reason, my ears do not like earbuds. I have to wear headphones. I have to actually have over-the-ear headphones. If I put things inside my ears, 9 times out of 10, I get an ear infection.
Ew.
And I don't know why, and no doctors have been able to explain it to me in a satisfying way. They're just like, oh, here's have some drops. But for example, when I flew to Boston, that was the first time in probably a year that I had put earbuds in, and I made a point of cleaning them first, and I'm listening to an audiobook on the plane, and when I got back I had an ear infection.
And that's why you didn't like that audiobook.
I have no idea. So so I do have that problem with actually listening using earbuds. I just can't do it for some reason, and it seems odd to me. I don't know. It seems weird in today's society to wear headphones anymore, but I know Bose is changing that.
I see a lot of people wearing headphones now, Patrick.
Yeah, I know. So
mostly the cool kids.
Maybe I just need to get a set of headphones for it.
Or you listen to audiobooks in the car.
I do that, as a matter of fact, but now what's interesting is even though I've so this leads me back to what I talked about with Fred earlier about listening to books that you've already read. I kind of want to go back now that I've heard James Marsters do the Dresden File books. I kind of want to go back and get all of those and hear him do them all.
Yeah. I mean, he's done them all?
Yeah. I think he did all of them except for one.
Yeah. I mean, in your place, I would totally do that. Like, for example, Mary Robinette Kowal. I love her books. I will read her books, and then I will listen to the audiobooks because I love her voice. And I love – She knows her book. She knows her world. I just love listening to her voice. And yeah, I know the plot of Shades of Milk and Honey, but hearing her go through it again is comfort listening. I mean, that was one of the books I listened to on my aforementioned trip to Colorado. I mean, I'd read it before, but this was something I knew was going to eat up the miles, and it did.
Your trip to Colorado where you didn't even say hello?
I'm sorry. You were busy that summer, man. I saw JT at least.
I know you did. That's okay.
Next time.
To speak to Sarah's comment about not being able to listen to something in chunks, I think that is a problem that I have as well. But it's not just listening. If I start reading something, I don't want to put it down. I want to keep reading it if I get into it.
Yep.
So there have been many times when I've gotten a new book. When I was rapidly consuming Modisette books or Jordan books or, you know, please forgive me, Goodkind books and Kate Elliott and all these really cool things. There's the N.K. Jemisin. I couldn't put them down. I had to keep reading them. So I would be up until 3-4 o'clock in the morning on a weekend. My eyes just, you know, blurring over because I'm wanting to keep going. I don't want to stop. So I don't think I can do the chunks either.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Even with the audio stuff. That's why Netflix is candy to me. It's like, yeah, I can turn on Netflix and just say, and I actually do this now. I will go to Netflix and I will look for series instead of movies because I want it to autoplay the next one and just keep going.
What about short fiction audio?
I haven't listened to short fiction audio yet. I've done a little bit. Well, I take that back. I used to listen to a lot of stuff that Merle Lafferty would narrate for Escape Pod.
Right.
And for her own stuff as well, because I do like Mer's voice, and I like listening to her. I will also listen to just about anything that Kate Baker feels that she wants to read to me. She is the voice. She's the power. And anything that Kate wants to read, I will happily and gleefully lap up. It's just, I love her voice. So, you know, those I will do. But sometimes I don't know. Short fiction and it's like oil and water sometimes. I don't get it. You know, I'll read The Year's Best.
Right.
And I will send John DiNardo an email going, did you read this particular short story? Because it just drove me up a wall. He's like, oh my God, that was my favorite. I love that one so much. Hi-yo.
Yep.
And he's not even lurking for us to draw him out.
He's not. No, not tonight.
You're wasting your ammunition here, Patrick.
I know. So, audiobooks. I think that people need to go check them out. I think there's lots of ways to consume them that we've mentioned. There's lots of podcasts out there. There's tons of free fiction.
Oh, yes.
So really the stuff that Fred mentioned.
Go to a site called LibriVox, LibriVox. Thousands of hours of free audio.
And stuff like Pseudopod, Escape Pod, these are the podcasts. Well, these are ones where the authors did get paid. So don't feel like you're ripping anybody off or anything. These, you know, the authors get paid, but they release it for free, which is cool.
Yep. Another plug, SSF Audio.
Yes.
Not only do episodes about audiobooks, and I've been on there a number of times. They'll also sometimes have the audiobook and then talk about it, so you can get the fiction and then the discussion all in one nice package.
And if you don't have an account with Audible, they'll do the free trial. So they'll let you download a book and check it out and listen to it. So, Sarah, do you have an Audible account?
I do.
You do?
I do. Okay. Yeah.
So then you've already gotten your free trial.
I don't know. I had to set one up because Jenny Wirt sent me the code for her book for free. So if I got a free trial, I didn't know about it.
Understood. So yeah, that's the same thing that happened a little bit to me. Gene Stein sent me a code, and that's how I got the first Anna Strong novel. I don't know. Fred, is there anything else that we should be talking about that I've forgotten?
One thing I can't really decide on if someone's starting out is whether it's better to start with something that you've already read and then listen to the audio or not. Hmm. I mean, I've been going roughly about half and half this year. And sometimes I find that if it's a difficult author, it is a little harder to follow when it's an audio book because you can't go back. You can't read, you know, if your attention is distracted, you might miss something. But that's one thing I would think of.
Okay.
And I mean, you already said, you know, that Audible lists the people that are the narrators. And that is, I mean, if you like someone who's an actor or an actress, it's increasingly a chance that they're on Audible or another source as a narrator, because that is a big way that folks pick up extra work if you're a working actor.
Yep.
I mean, we've got people in our town that's, she's retired, and she makes almost as much as she used to just doing audiobooks, for crying out loud.
So what?
It's pretty amazing.
What I'm looking forward to is I believe that they're trying to get a deal where Matthew McConaughey will do all the Arthur C. Clarke books.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joke.
Oh, sorry.
Have you seen Interstellar yet?
No.
Just curious.
No, I have not.
Both my brothers were like, you must see it. Oh, my God. And I was like...
From what I understand, that's playing somewhere outside my house.
Yes.
I don't get to go outside my house except to work and to go to the grocery store. So it's a little difficult right now.
Yep.
Alas.
Alas. Paul, anything else you want to tell people or anything that I've forgotten about Audible books or audiobooks?
But as I mentioned before, some authors do their own audiobooks.
Emma,
some,
yep.
Emma, Mary, they're some. I mean, those are easy entries. If you like the author, you should. I mean, and you got enough time to read their book, listen to their audiobook, because they know their world, and a really good author / audiobook narrator is a real treasure, and it helps eats up time, and you should look into that. And it's a way of reading more, and we have to all carve out reading time somehow, rather than having a dull existences. So yeah, seek out audiobooks.
Rachel, did you go and see Interstellar, or was it Interstellar?
No. I promised my brothers that I would, but we haven't seen it yet. There's just weekends are not really weekends.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be working this weekend, so I understand. Yeah. Any final thoughts on audiobooks?
Just that you can get such a bizarrely awesome variety. Just from my experience, I mean, I've listened to biographies of Mozart, a history of Bell Labs, a history of Superman, and, you know, novels like White Teeth and Middlesex, and it's just like you can get anything. I mean, anything at all, and it helps pass the time with whether you're just driving or you're, you know, doing chores that are really boring or whatever. And I mean, I think it has upped the quality of my life. Like I tell everyone that I can to try audiobooks. And, you know, and they are really readily available, like everybody was saying. I mean, I get most of mine from my library, and there's still a million that, you know, that I haven't even, gotten yet. So
interesting. Do you have to dig your way through the DVDs to get to them?
Well, what I do is I go, it's a little bit hard, 'cause I go on the, on the catalog.
Rachel's not used to me yet.
Oh, you're.
Yeah. Give her time, Patrick. Give her time.
You know that scene in Star Trek where Savick is subjected to a joke by Kirk and responds something like humor, a difficult subject?
Yes.
Yeah.
That, Rachel, you're Savick.
Patrick is Kirk. So there you go.
I'm usually like on top of things, but it's like, what, you know, 8:45 here, and I'm just like, whoa. But actually, it's really not easy to find audiobooks on the library's website. Like, you actually have to comb through and try to search strategically. That is a little bit of a problem.
It's always all the cheese that you have to search through.
Yes, exactly.
I want to know who moved my cheese.
In Wisconsin, everybody.
I want cheese now.
I want to give an award to whoever it was that thought, hey, you know what would be good? Cheese soup.
Oh, man.
Beer and cheese soup. Yeah.
I
moved to the right state, that's for sure.
Yes, you do.
I had a broccoli cheddar soup today for lunch. It was wonderful.
Now I'm hungry.
Sarah, has this discussion changed your mind at all? Have you decided to give audiobooks another try? You can always stop them at 80% so that you don't have to hear the end.
God, you're horrible. So, yeah, actually, while you guys have been talking, I went on my library's website and I checked out an audiobook. So there you go. Give it a shot tomorrow at work.
Paul wants to know what you checked out.
So I decided to kind of go a little bit of two different ways here. I'm going to listen to a book that I've read before, which will make it easier, and I've wanted to read it again. So I'm going with Pandora Star by Peter F. Hamilton. Excellent. We'll see how that works, but I really am, yeah, so we'll see. Tomorrow I will test this, so.
Tomorrow.
So at 5 a.m., I'm going to be cursing the morning and listening to Peter F. Hamilton. There you go.
Away.
That was beautiful.
Paul, you were shouting something in the background that we couldn't hear when she said Peter F. Hamilton.
I said an excellent choice, since I know you love his work.
I do. Yeah. I hope I like it.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, then we have accomplished what we wanted, which was to get someone to listen to an audiobook.
There you go.
Thanks to everybody for coming on. Anything else you want to say, Fred?
Read. Whatever form it takes, read.
Rachel?
What he just said.
There you go, Paul.
What they just said.
Sarah.
That's it. Thank All you. Right.
Thanks for everybody for coming on. You've given me lots of stuff to think about and crap or something. I don't know.
Thinking and crap, Patrick. Get it right.
Romeo, Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends and so on and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF&F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Magic Wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.